Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and the truth of the Bible, Old and New Testament, so that we can understand what's going on in the world. We can understand what God wants from us. We can understand who and what Jesus is. We can understand how God can deal in our lives. We can understand what we need to do to please God. Now, the world out there is in a terrible mess. And how are you going to straighten it out? You're going to straighten it out with a new election, a new president? Well, did it happen last time? Or the time before that? Are we going to straighten it out because there's a big revival in Protestantism? Well, Protestantism is becoming so inept, it's virtually going to become extinct in 10 years. Yet God exists. Christ is at his right hand. And he loves you and he cares for you. And he wants you. He wants you to understand his word. He wants you to understand what is going to happen in the world. He wants you to understand what you need to do with your life. He wants you to understand that he wants you to be in a relationship with him under grace. Now, we're going to finish the series, Passover and Unleavened Bread, in the Old Testament. And we saw last time how evil King Manasseh turned Judah into such a sinful, wretched place, and even where the temple of God was. Well, just like Manasseh fell, God raises up a king to turn it around. And God delights in the least. And God delights in that which is little. But God delights in that which is pleasing to him, which his son Josiah was. Now, he was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Now think of after the 55 years of Manasseh. What a horrible thing it was. So, when he was 16, still young, he began to seek after God, the God of his father David, and to do what was right. Then when he became 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves, and the carved images and the molten images. Began to get rid of the idolatry. Now, don't you think he had a lot of opposition? Don't you think that the priest of the high places and the groves and the images, how dare you do this? We have freedom of religion. Nevertheless, hack, hack, get rid of it. Okay? He broke down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and he cut down the images that were high above them, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he also broke in pieces, made dust from them and scattered them upon the graves of those who sacrificed to them. And he burned the bones of the priests upon the altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. See, there comes a time, and that's what it's going to happen when Jesus returns. Jesus is not going to come back with a secret rapture, and all of us goody-goody two-shoes are going to be wafted away to meet Jesus. No. Jesus is coming in power. Jesus is coming with destruction. He is coming with purging the whole world of all the evil that the nations and Satan, the devil, have devised. And it's going to really be a tremendous thing that will happen. Now, we can talk about that when we go through the book of Revelation. Then he did so on Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, and Naphtali. He broke down the altars of the groves and had beaten the carved images into powder and cut down all the idols in all the land of Israel and returned to Jerusalem. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, that's when he was 26. He began to purge the land, and he sent Shaphan, who was one of the ones to the treasurer, to help clean out the temple. They brought the money to Hilkiah the priest to clean it out, put it into the hands of the workmen, and they started to clean out the temple. Now let's come over here to verse 14. And when they were bringing out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord written by the hand of Moses, way back in the defiled Holy of Holies. There was the book of the law written by Moses himself. Not like today, where we all have Bibles. Not like today, where we all have instant communication and we can know what's going on. No. Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, verse 15, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was given into the hands of your servants they are doing. They have gathered the money together. And then he said, verse 18, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now, what do you suppose is in the book of the law? Well, all the blessings and cursings in Deuteronomy 28. Now, I recently gave some sermons on that at cbcg.org. And you need to read all of Deuteronomy 28. Now, I'm going to tell you, you better be strengthened in heart and mind and so that you can understand that all the curses that are written there in the book of the law are coming down upon this nation today. Now, people don't like to hear that. But God tells his servants, cry aloud and spare not, and show my people their sins. Well, let's see what happened here. Verse 19, it came to pass when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. He didn't know what to do. Because here were all the curses pronounced by God against Judah and Israel when they forsook the law of God and the commandments of God and were worshiping all of the pagan idolatry and all of the things that were associated with the pagan religions. Oh, we have freedom of religion. Isn't that wonderful? No, you have freedom to worship God according as he has dictated to us. Not any old way you think. God is not going to accept anyone without repentance. God is not going to accept any work that you do of your own unless you repent and come to Christ. So he commanded Hilkiah. He said, verse 21, go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book which have been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in the book. So Shaphan came to a faithful woman, a keeper of the wardrobe in the temple. So everyone, including Hilkiah the high priest, were not close enough to God to get a direct message from him. So they went to Huldah, she's called a prophetess, and asked, what's going to happen? And she answered them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon its people. And that's coming upon us and the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, coming upon the whole world because of sin. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon its people, even all the curses written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah. Now think about it. Is this coming election going to change anything? Very slightly at best. And unless there's repentance, it's only going to compound. It's only going to get worse. You read Deuteronomy 28 and you will read what King Josiah heard Shaphan read in his ears. And that's why he tore his clothes and repented. Now here's why. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, so that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, and my wrath shall be poured out upon this place, and it shall not be quenched. That's God's judgment. However, when there is repentance, even by one man, God will be moved to put it off into the future. Notice verse 26. And as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its people and humbled yourself before me and tore your clothes and wept before me. I have even heard you also, says the Lord. Now that's why. As long as there is life, there is hope. You need to understand that. Now, God isn't going to remove everything because there won't be the kind of repentance that we see as we have found here in 2 Chronicles 34. But notice what the king did. And this is what would have to happen with the president, with the Congress, with the Supreme Court, with all the governors coming to Washington, D.C., having a great and solemn ceremony, all repenting and crying and weeping before God to spare your people. If that happened, then God would do what he did here to King Josiah and the people of Judah. So what did he do? He gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord, verse 30. Now that's some action. Now notice what he did. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul and to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And so that was really a tremendous repentance. So what did he do? He took away all of the idolatry. He took away all of the things that were contrary to God. And as long as King Josiah lived, they followed the Lord. But it was like this. He had to go make them do it. Now, there's no one with that kind of authority in the United States of America, nor in any of the other nations of the world. So the inevitable is going to happen. But notice, how did they return to God? And this is the key important thing that we're going to finish off with here in the Passover and unleavened bread in the Old Testament. Because I want you to understand, the Passover is key in returning to God. Old Testament and New Testament. So let's read it. 2 Chronicles 35 and verse 1. And Josiah kept a Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, according to God's instructions. All the priests, all the Levites, and they had such a huge gathering of repentant Israelites and Jews, and they offered these great offerings, and there were so many people that King Josiah had to tell the Levites and the priests to kill the Passover and sanctify yourselves and your brethren, verse 6, so that they may do according to the word of God by the hand of Moses. And Josiah gave to the people from the flocks all for Passover offerings. Then it lists them. And all the princes willingly gave to the people. And the Passover offerings were absolutely tremendous. Think of this revival. Verse 11. And they killed the Passover offerings, and the priests sprinkled the blood from their hands, and the Levites flayed them, And they removed the burnt offering so that they might give according to the division of the families of the people to offer to the Lord, as it was written in the book of Moses, so they did to the oxen. Now let's read what kind of revival that this was. And let's understand that here in America or any of the modern nations of Israel today, the descendants of the modern nations of Israel who are not the Jews are not the Israelites. They are Jews of the house of Judah. But notice, verse 17, and the children of Israel who were present to keep the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. And there was no Passover like that kept in Israel since the days of the prophet. Yea, none of the kings of Israel kept such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel who were present, and the people of Jerusalem. This Passover was kept in the 18th year of the reign of Josiah. Well, Josiah had a weakness. God told him that as long as he lived, he would not bring the plagues. He would not send the children of Israel and the Jews off into captivity. He would have mercy. As long as they adhered to that covenant that they pledged with Josiah at the temple, with all the elders and with all the priests, to seek God and to seek him with the whole heart and to worship him and him only and to get rid of all the false gods and all of the idols and all of the things that are contrary to the word of God and the true worship of the true God. But there was a war. And King Josiah wanted to go fight in the battle, and he was told, don't go. So he thought he knew better than the advice given. So he dressed himself up as a regular soldier instead of as the king going to battle. And he went out in his chariot, and an arrow took him down. They took him back to Jerusalem, and he died. Now there was a prophet of God living at that time, and his name was Jeremiah. And Jeremiah lamented the death of Josiah. Then he wrote the most depressing book in the whole Bible. Hard to read, but true. Difficult to put up with, because if you're emotional and you don't want to put up with things that are evil. But when God brings his judgment, evil is going to come. And he wrote the Book of Lamentations. The destruction of Jerusalem and Judah. Now he told the Jews, when he sent Nebuchadnezzar to come against Jerusalem and Judah, he told them, if you'll surrender and go with Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon, I will watch over you. No longer will you be a high tree, but you will be a fruitful vine. And you're going to go into captivity and exile for 70 years because of your sins. Now, if you want a real confirming read of the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC, you get the book of Josephus. And you read about the fall of Jerusalem and how absolutely horrific it was. See, when the people of God, whether the church or whether the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, turned their backs upon God, judgment is coming. Unless there is repentance, the hand of God is not going to turn back. But he will honor repentance personally for you if you repent. That's what God offers. Now we need to understand. God loves you. God is for you. God can be with you. God will lead you and show you and teach you if, that famous little word, if, you love God and keep his commandments. If you keep the things that you find that you need to do. If you yield to God, and if you are faithful and true, God will bless you. God will place his angels about you. And you go read Psalm 91, which is the disaster psalm, on how everything is falling apart all around you if you are under God's protection. And if you are repentant and yielded to God, these things shall not come upon you. Though 1,000 fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your left hand, it won't come near you. God will deliver you. So we need to understand where we are. And look at how it was there. But I want you to grasp the importance of the Passover in returning to God. Now when we get to the New Testament, which we will cover next time. Now it's also going to be a fairly lengthy series to go through because there is so much in the Bible. You cannot have a 5-minute sermonette and that's all you ever need to know about the Bible. You cannot establish a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ with 5-minute little cootsie-coos. So you need to understand the truth of God. You need to pour out your heart to God. You need to drink in of his word. That's why church at home. You can't do it at the local church down on the corner or the local synagogue or the local cathedral. God can call you. God wants you in his kingdom. But you have got to understand the importance of the Sabbath and Passover and the holy days of God. Now, what we're going to see is this, as I just briefly previewed in one of the other segments. God chose the day of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ called the appointed time. Now we have this book, The Appointed Times. This is the most thorough, complete, in-depth book about the appointed times of Jesus the Messiah. And you will see when you order this book, we'll send it to you at no cost. But you better be prepared for some very serious study. And you better be prepared for some very serious reading. Because this is the first time that all the prophecies and the appointed times all come together and they fit like a hand and glove. It's based upon the Word of God, the 70 weeks prophecy, the prophecies concerning the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, his ministry, and all of this, and all were accomplished at the set appointed time. Then we also cover, what are the appointed times concerning the return of Jesus Christ? And you will be able to see that we are getting closer and closer and closer and closer to that momentous time that will trigger the events leading to the return of Jesus Christ in all power and signs and great display of awesome things in the heavens. And Christ is returning to take over this world. And he is offering everyone who will repent and everyone who comes to God's side and everyone who will yield to God, that they will rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years and bring to this earth the real peace that all mankind has been yearning for, longing for, but never able to find, because without the true God and the return of Christ, it's a striving after wind. So now you have an opportunity. Now we still have time to learn. Now you still have time to grow in grace and knowledge and understand the Word of God. So be sure and get our book, Lord, What Should I Do? Our book, The Appointed Times. And if you write for these books, we will send them to you without cost to you because there are people and brethren who contribute their tithes and offerings. They freely give so you can freely receive. And God expects a reciprocity on your part when you see and prove and know the truth, so that you can participate in giving so that others can receive without cost. Now, that's the way that God does things. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure to use our other website, cbcg.org, and let's all be restoring original Christianity for today. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.